Go ahead and be seated. I want to give a huge shout out and a welcome to any visitors that are here this morning, everybody down in the chapel, fireplace room, fellowship hall, everybody watching online. God bless you. We are glad that you're here and a part of what's going to happen today. I want to remind everybody, if you weren't here last week, we did this teaching on fasting and what it looks like to give yourself 21 days of prayer and fasting. And so if you missed last week, I would really, really encourage you to go online and watch it, gracechapel.net. It's easy to find, and you can learn about fasting. I invited the church to join Sarah and I on a 21-day fast, and so we are about 4 or 5 days into that, whatever it is now, and so we would encourage you to participate in that as well. It's not too late. Also, last service, I made the announcement, and not like it's some big deal, but I just made the announcement that this coming week, Sarah and I, along with some friends, are going to Washington, D.C. for the inauguration. Our purpose is to go and pray. I want you to hear me. Our purpose is to go and pray and to walk the streets of Washington, D.C. that we are familiar with and pray. And so we're going to do that this week. We're not participating, per se, in the inauguration service itself, but we're going to pray, and we'll see what doors God might open for us. However, we would covet your prayers in joining with us, but I wanted to, on this last Sunday before the new administration gets sworn into office, I thought it would be good if the church prayed, not just for the new president-elect, but for both houses of Congress as well, because we need Jesus. Amen, somebody? The United States needs Jesus. Now, we're going to do that in just a second, but I want to put my friend on the spot. Tennessee Senator, State Senator Jack Johnson is here, part of our church family, a friend. And so I'm going to call him out and say, come and up here, Jack. We're going to pray for you as well as the Senate starts a new session here. Can you make Senator Johnson feel welcome? Deanna, come on. We'll grab Deanna too. Sarah, come on. We'll just make it a family affair up here. And so, Senator Jack, right here, a good man representing many of us here in Nashville, fighting for conservative, godly causes like crazy. And he comes on. Yeah, go ahead. Tell him thank you. Tell him thank you. That's right. So he's up there in the trenches on our behalf, promoting righteousness and all, and he comes under attack because of it. You know, anybody who stands up for righteousness comes under attack, but he hasn't wavered or backed down, and he's a good man and a friend, and we need to remember him, not just as part of our church family, but as many of our, he's our state senator. So again, his lovely wife, Deanna, Judge Deanna is here as well. And so we just want to, while we're praying for Washington, D.C. and the new Congress and president, we want to pray for Jack and our local officials as well. So stretch your hand out this way, if you would. Stretch your hand out this way and let's pray. So Father, in the name of Jesus, we want to thank you, first of all, God, for our public servants. Yes. Lord, your word tells us that it is right to pray for kings and for all who are in authority, that we might lead quiet and peaceable lives. And so, Father, in Jesus' name, we do pray right now. We pray for the president-elect, Lord God. We pray for both houses of Congress. Lord, we pray for Jack and every other senator and representative here in this state. Father, we commit them to you in the name of Jesus. We commit them into your hand. And Father, we're asking specifically several things. Father, we're praying that righteousness, Lord God, would be what rules this land, what inspires the making of our laws, Lord, what causes us to treat one another with love and respect and charity and grace, even when we differ. God, may there be an outpouring, a fresh and increased outpouring of righteousness across this country, in the White House, in the church house, God, and everywhere in between. We pray that you would give these men and women wisdom. We pray that you would give them maturity. We pray that you would give them self-control and temperance. God, we pray you would give them good, godly, common sense. Yes, We pray, oh God, that you would give them humility, that if an idea is good that comes from the other side of the aisle that'll benefit the people, Lord, that they would say yes and amen. And so, Lord, may they put you and the people above party and politics. May righteousness abound. May the blessing of God rest upon America as it rests upon her leaders. God, we commit them into your hand one more time in the name of Jesus. Protect them from every scheme of the enemy. Give them strength, oh God, when they try to get beaten down. Be the lifter of their head and the strengthener of their knees, oh God. In Jesus' name, bless your leaders, oh God. Amen and amen. Thank you, brother. Thank you, Jack. Thank you. Keep them all in your prayers. All right, so every year this time of year, I do kind of a state of the church address. And what it is, it's a bit of looking back over 2016 and then looking forward to some things in 2017. I've just got to tell you, after doing this last service, there is a lot of information, and I don't know that I'm going to cover all of it this time, but I will put my notes online, and you'll be able to see every jot and tittle, but I want to be able to speed the process up a little bit, so I would encourage you, if you want to know everything, go online and look at the notes. They'll be there. By the goodness of God's graciousness and power, Grace Chapel, we just finished our 22nd consecutive year of the best year we've ever had. It's quite a streak. I'm not looking for it to end, but every year it's like, oh my gosh, he did it again. Before I get into all the details on this, though, I want to talk to you all really, I mean, like from my heart to yours. I want to talk to you about who Grace Chapel is and who Grace Chapel isn't. And I want to just again put it on the record and make it clear. If you're visiting here today, you're going to probably know more about us than you want to, but I hope it'll at least inform you, okay? So, kind of who we are first. Our goal, without question, beloved, is to equip people to be passionate servants of Jesus Christ. No question about it. Now, in the equipping process, you know, there's got to be the reaching process, the finding of the lost, the saving of the lost, and then the discipling of the found and the discipling of the saved. That's all in that equip word. But we want to equip people to be passionate. I don't want to equip people just to be the frozen chosen. Got no desire to that. It's not biblical to be the frozen chosen. Silence of the lambs is not a good thing. And so we want to be passionate. We want to be fiery. We want to be alive. We want to make a difference. So we want to equip people to be passionate, and we want them to be servants. We want them to serve God, and we want them to serve people. We want to make it our goal to make much about everybody else except other than ourselves. We live in such a selfish community, such a selfish world. We've got to really be intentional about saying, God, I'm going to serve you and I'm going to serve other people. I'm going to get my hands dirty in the trenches, making much of you, Jesus, serving your kingdom and serving other people. So we want to equip people to be passionate servants of Jesus Christ. In a time when too many people are backing away from his name, I will say it over and over and over again, Jesus Christ. Jesus, who is the Christ, Jesus, who has the name above every name, Jesus, his name shall forever be on my lips. Put a bullet up next to my head or a sword to my throat. Jesus in his glory will never depart from my lips. So we want to equip people to be passionate servants of Jesus Christ. Now, how are we going to go about that? There's plenty of different things I could share, but, you know, just to get you on the same track. Ephesians 4:15, the Apostle Paul talks about speaking the truth in love. And so we're committed to that here. We are committed to speaking the truth, but we are committed to doing it in love. You can speak the truth in a way that is unkind and unloving, and it doesn't produce the desired result and effect. You know, the wrath of man never produces the righteousness of God. And so as much as we want to speak the truth, we have to make sure that the root, the foundation of the truth that we speak is love. that it is in love, that it is with concern in our hearts for people that would oppose us, be against us, say awful things about us, whatever, that we've got to speak the truth in love. This will help us equip people to be passionate servants of Jesus. Also, Acts 1:8, we want to be able to do this under the power of the Holy Spirit. Jesus said in Acts 1:8 that when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, he's gonna give you power, dunamis in the Greek, which is where we get our word dynamite. He's gonna give us dynamic power to be a witness for himself. And so we wanna trust the Holy Spirit in this equipping people to be passionate servants of Jesus. We wanna trust the Holy Spirit. I don't wanna trust on natural abilities or natural talents. I want to be able to position myself, I want us to position ourselves before God so that the Holy Spirit can come upon us and fill us to live supernatural lives where we properly reflect Jesus to a dying world. So we're going to speak the truth in love under the power of the Holy Spirit. And then finally, Matthew 28:20, Jesus said, go into all the world and make disciples of all the nations. Now I want to be clear about this, friends, because this isn't just about becoming a disciple yourself. It isn't just about you learning what it is to follow Jesus. The goal is then for you to, in your becoming a disciple, to be a disciple maker. The first century church, the immediate church, they fully understood what that meant. But we live 2,000 years later, and I think some of us think that it's just enough for me to kind of get my own theology and lifestyle right, but not ever pass it on. We want you to be a disciple of Jesus, but we want you beyond that to be a disciple maker. We want to equip you so that you know how to pass it on to other people. This is how we win the world to Jesus, one town, one village, one city, one state, one country at a time. But it's got to take us not just being a disciple, but being a disciple maker, okay? So that's, in essence, who we are, what we're about. Now, this is who we're not. I'm not being critical. I promise you I'm doing my best to say this with a smile on my face, but I'm just telling y'all, there is stuff as a pastor that seriously concerns me in the church world. And I'm not talking about the church world on the other side of the country or the other side of the world. I'm talking about the church world right here in Middle Tennessee. So here's who we're not. We're not 1 Timothy 4:1. Paul writes and says that the Holy Spirit expressly, explicitly says that in the latter times, there's gonna be people who depart from the faith. And it's because they give heed, they pay attention to deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons. Grace Chapel, listen to me. By the grace of God, we are not going to depart from ancient, historic, Orthodox Christian faith. We're not going to depart. It doesn't matter to me how unpopular it becomes, how irrelevant it might become in some circles. We are not departing from the faith. We are not going to listen to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. We've seen it happen in our region in just the last couple years. Churches departing from the faith, believing stuff that's crazy and demonic. We're not doing that. Amen. You come to Grace Chapel and you hear me start spewing new stuff, new revelations that's contrary to the gospel, get out of here, run. Right. Run, grab other people and take them with you. Get out of here. Pray for me, but run. Let me tell you who else we're not gonna be. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1, 5, and 7, and just for time's sake, Paul writes and says, but know this, that in the last days, there's that emphasis again. Perilous times, it's times of stress and anxiety, he said, will come. People are gonna have a form of godliness, verse 5, but they're gonna deny and resist the life-transforming power of God. He says in verse 7 that these are people who are always learning, but they're never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. What is he talking about? George, He's talking about people who play religious church games. He's talking about people that have a form of godliness, but they don't want anything to do with the actual power of God that will change their life through conviction and ability and grace. This is a religious, cultural mindset. It's people who are always learning and yet never able to come to the... It's just like they come to church for 15 years, 20 years, 25 years, and they just never get it. And the reason they just don't get it is because they never let it. They've satisfied themselves with religious outward appearance instead of inward spiritual transformation. We're not here to play religious games. We're not here to be a cultural Christian. We are here to be people who receive what God has for us, to obey it after it's been revealed, and to then live a transformed life. That's what we're about. So we're not about religious games. We're not about always learning and never able. We're not about that. That's what we're not. I agree, sweetheart, completely. 2 Timothy 4, 3 and 4, the Apostle Paul goes on again, the last chapter of the last epistle that he wrote. He said the time's gonna come when people will not endure sound doctrine, good, solid Bible teaching. He said, but according, look at this, to their own desires, because they have itching ears, what are they gonna do? They're gonna heap up for themselves teachers, and they're gonna turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables. Friends, here's what we're not gonna do. We're not going to reject sound doctrine. It's like our first point that we made. We're not gonna put our own carnal, selfish desires above the revealed will of God's holiness. We're not going to, because of our itching ears, heap up for ourselves teachers. I don't wanna endure sound doctrine. I've got itching ears, I wanna hear something else. Something smoother, something more palatable, something that'll approve of my sinful, compromised life. And let me find someone who will tell me it's okay. Who's the pastor that I can write a check to tell me that homosexuality is okay? I'll pay him. Who will tell me it's okay to live in fornication and adultery? Let me pay him. Who's gonna tell me that drunkenness and all the other vices that are going on are okay and that God understands and, you know, you just pray and say you're sorry, but you don't ever have to change. Who's the pastor who will tell me that? People will write that man a check all day long. And our churches are filled with puny preachers who refuse to share the truth. They build their own persona instead of building the church, and eventually they come crumbling down because it's a foundation that will not stand. Right. So here's who we're not. We are not a community of faith departing, Holy Spirit rejecting, always learning, never able, itching ears, tell me what I want to hear Christians. That's not who we are. Our goal isn't to be hip, tolerant, or politically correct. Our goal is to be holy, loving, and faithful to Jesus Christ. So on that kind note, we just finished our 22nd consecutive year of our best year ever. So let's jump into this family meeting and hold on, it's a bunch, and here we go. This last year, and this is beyond humbling, and it produces more gratitude than I know what to do with, except it drops me to my knees. The finances of Grace Chapel have been extraordinary. In 2016, our tithes and offerings, meaning just what comes in on Sunday mornings, it was $8.2 million. That's a 14% increase from the previous year. You all were profoundly generous last year. Glory to God. Total donations last year, because we had a sacrificial offering. Total donations last year, $11.8 million came into Grace Chapel. Somebody better shout right there. Now, 3.4 of that 11.8 was from the sacrificial offering that we took for the property next door in order to expand our future growth and all of that. And then there was a couple hundred thousand dollars of just other individual gifts or whatever. But $11.8 million total came in last year, including the sacrificial offering. Debt. Let me talk to you about debt. Now, this number might for a second make you nervous, but remember the size of our family, because probably, financially speaking and debt speaking, our church family's doing better than most every other family in here. We've got $5.2 million in debt. Now, for me, Chris, I mean, that would be like, right, it makes your heart skip a beat. But when you talk about the size of our family and the amount of money that's given, and I'm going to give you an example here in a second, I promise you we're okay. Like, we're really okay, all right? Now, this $5.2 million in being extremely detailed and transparent, because I believe in that, I want to be very, very clear, will be $5.2 million in total debt, probably in about maybe 45, 60 days, somewhere in there, because there's $2.5 million that is gonna come to us in the next month or two, okay? And that money is coming from Grace Christian Academy, because they've had to purchase a significant part of Next Door for what they're doing there, okay? I don't wanna get into all the detail, but the bank and the county and the way that all of this shakes out, the school needed to purchase from the church the house and the property. So the big old huge house and 35 acres is gonna go to them for $2 million, which is really, really reasonable. But it's Grace Chapel funding and supporting reaching the next generation, okay? So there's $2 million right there, yes, yes, yes. Then there's another $500,000 that's gonna come by selling some property on the other side of the river that we don't need and cannot use. So hear me say this. When we purchased the property a year and a half ago for $5.6 million, we're about 6 or 8 weeks away from it being 100% debt-free to Grace Chapel. Yeah. Now, this $5.2 million in debt, you need to know that we at least pay 2 to 3 times our monthly mortgage every single month. And there's times where we throw hundreds of thousands of dollars at the debt as we have extra to pay it down. I'm not 100% approved by my good friend Dave Ramsey, but we're doing okay, I promise you. Manageable, extremely manageable debt. It's okay for us, and we're doing really, really well, I can assure you. Let me talk to you about staff payroll for a minute, because this is another huge number, especially in church and nonprofit circles. 28% of the weekly tithes and offerings, 28% of the $8.2 million goes to staff salaries and administrative fees. Now, it doesn't mean much to many of you, but it's a number that is one of my favorite, actually. I'm most thankful for this. You all have been in churches, even in this town, where that number isn't 28%, it's as high as 50 and 60% of the total giving goes to just keeping the thing going. We're half of what most organizations are. Half. Somebody needs a clap. Now, I will add to that and say that our financial advisory board, men who are in this room right now, they do such a fantastic job in managing our funds, our resources. We do a self-imposed review every single year, and we do a full-blown, in-depth audit every 3 years. We call ourselves to that kind of accountability and transparency. We use Kapp and Krauss, which is one of the most recognized nonprofit accounting firms in the nation, very well known, very respected. When they do our audits and they do our reviews, they give us an A. And the only thing that they had to say is, you should hire more staff. Your percentage for your staff is too low. And we said, we appreciate the advice. They're so used to churches spending so much more on staff that they're suggesting that we do that. And it's like, we're not understaffed and we're not underpaid and we're not overpaid and we don't have any reason to do that. 4 years ago, I sat with the former CFO of what was Promise Keepers. A wonderful man, great godly man. I told him about my thought processes about hiring and paying people and all that stuff. And he said, I wish you'd have been with me 20 years ago at Promise Keepers to tell me that. This is CFO of a multi-million dollar company. So we do really, really well. And it's very detailed, it's very transparent by the most recognized people in the accounting world. Okay, enough of that. Let me talk to you about missions. Well, this is a dollar figure as well, but it's under missions. 26% of our tithes and offerings go to missions, benevolence, and outreach around the world. 26%. Again, there are churches that would hope and pray that they could get to the 10% mark. Oh, if we could just give a tithe, if we could just give 10% of our tithes and offerings to the world. 26%, Grace Chapel, is what goes out of here. In the last year, 2016, we planted two different churches. The first one, Grace Chapel Knoxville with Pastor Jake Spencer, who many of you know and love. And then Grace Chapel Navajoa, Mexico, where we sent Brian and Rochelle Ray back to plant a church there. I want you to look at this video from Pastor Jake, Grace Chapel Knoxville.
In January of 2016, three families traveled 200 miles from Franklin to Knoxville, and a new church body was formed. 6 short weeks later, those couple of families, along with a handful of other people, began to meet in our living room, and our church was born. On Easter morning, we gathered by the river and we worshiped Jesus together. It has been a true joy connecting with our new community. Well, after 3 months in the living room, we traveled a couple miles down the road and began to meet in North Shore Elementary School. And that growing body of believers now works together every week to turn a school into a sanctuary. We've lived a lot of life together this year, worshiping Jesus, celebrating new life, loving on our kids, and serving our community. In the fall of 2016, we launched our life groups, and watching the growth of our relationships with Jesus and one another has been such an adventure and joy. As we finished out our first year together celebrating the birth of Jesus, we couldn't help but reflect on the birth of our new church body. Grace Chapel, we know much more awaits us in the years to come, but we wanted to stop right here in this moment to say thank you. We are incredibly grateful for all of your love and support. We feel very much as if we are one family in two locations. And so from our hearts here in Knoxville, back home to you guys in Franklin, we just want to stop to say,
thank you, Grace Chapel!
Amen. Chris, it's like the old days, isn't it? Grace Chapel Navajoa, Brian and Rochelle Ray down there doing a fantastic job winning people to Jesus. They sent us this picture. We didn't get a fancy video from Mexico, but we got this great picture. I love the fact that there's a dog at the altar. How many of you know that's not the first time a dog's been at the altar? But I look at that picture and I go, look at, there's our DNA right there. There's the prayer people in front. You know, there's less of them, but there they are praying for people, leading worship, preaching the gospel. It's going great. Grace Chapel Navajoa, Pastor Brian doing a fantastic job growing, reaching people, all of that in the last year. And you all made that happen by your giving and your support. So thank you for that. The persecuted church and the work that we do with Iraqi Christians who have lost everything as a result of ISIS in the city of Mosul. They've been transported to safety in Amman, Jordan. You know, we've been there many times and send our help. I wish I had the number for you, but it's part of that missions giving number. A whole bunch of money has gone to our brothers and sisters who have lost everything, who are now in Amman. And just at Christmas time, just a month ago, 500 families, everything from warm winter clothes for the kids to help and pay rent to food boxes, medical care, just a whole host of things. Grace Chapel, you helped 500, not people, 500 families because of your giving. We continue to work with Senator Corker's office, my good friend Senator Corker and his staff, concerned, trying to help us get these persecuted Christians here to America so that we might assist them in helping start a new life. It's been difficult with the last administration. It should change in the future, and we're looking forward to that. Obviously, we would, go ahead. Obviously, we would be thrilled for Mosul to be safe again. They're working on that. They're making headway, but it's still a place of torment and terror. And so we need to keep, obviously, the people that are fighting for freedom there in our prayers. But United Nations, High Commission of Refugee Services, all of that, we're working on this situation continually. I don't talk about it all the time. There's not a lot of news, but we are continually working with the persecuted believers around the world. Here locally, a ministry called Arise Hope that we've started is an outreach to Arab-speaking Muslims. We don't want to just lump all Muslims in the same category and say we don't like them or love them and we want nothing to do with them. We want to win them to the love of Jesus Christ because they have found no love in Allah. They will find love in Jesus Christ. And so we make it our goal to win Muslims to Jesus, not just curse them and be ugly to them. Josiah's house and Giovanna's house in the DR, of course, we've been doing work there for years. It has continued and we're grateful for that. It just continues to grow and be blessed. Bob and Diane Spencer have done a good job down there raising up these boys and girls, taking them off of the streets, out of abusive situations, and putting them there in the home where there's safety and provision and discipleship and all manner of good things. Our work in Haiti continues after all these years. In fact, we've got a team down in Haiti as we speak right now doing the work. Very, very grateful for that. I chose to put this picture up again. I told you several months ago that in our work in Haiti, you know, we find out after we win people to Jesus that we've got multiple couples who have never been married. And so they're living together, they're having children, but they're not married because they can't afford the ceremony. So what we did is said, okay, here's the deal. We'll bring the ceremony to you. And so here's some lovely gowns, here's some suits and tuxedos or whatever for the guys, and we get them doggone hitched up right down there. And so they're not just getting saved, they're getting married down there. And so it's just our ongoing work there. On a more serious note, our work in South Sudan continues, and it's been catastrophic lately, I must say. We literally are sending life-saving, life-supporting goods to them, food and nutritional soup mix, and just, in the past, fishing hooks and nets and just stuff, I mean, to barely help just sustain life. I know you can't see it well, but the picture there on the right as you're looking, Pastor Myron is there in a leper colony in South Sudan, laying hands on, praying for, preaching the gospel, providing their needs. And so our work in South Sudan continues. It's a very tough situation. Again, we're hoping maybe with the new administration we'll see some change there, but we continue to do work there. Kids on Stage, we continue to do that here. Our Chinese student outreach, we partner with Kids on Stage here locally. We host the whole thing here on this campus. We've got, you know, usually 35 Chinese students, many of which have never heard the gospel in their entire life. They come here, they stay with you in your homes. You live Jesus in front of them, you share Jesus with them, and fantastic relationships are made. But we're very, very intentional. The reason we do that isn't just so that they can learn how to play guitar. The reason we do it is so that we can win them to Jesus if God would will it. And so that ministry continues, and it's awesome. I don't have a picture for this next one, and I'm asking my dear brother Lamuel to forgive me all the way in India. But the work that we do in India as well with Brother Lamuel and the children's home there and providing and loving and caring for them. Lamuel in India, we love you. I'm sorry we didn't have a picture. As many as you send us, it's my fault. I'm sorry. But we love you and we do work in India as well. Nicole C., come on and stand up and say hi for a minute. Let me put you on the spot. Nicole C. right there. So let me tell you about this. Nicole's been doing work with the Baby Girls Club for a very, very long time, and kind of in the last year, we've relaunched it and given it some fresh energy and all that. Nicole has been working with underprivileged young girls in the Franklin area for a long time. How about I keep it right there, sis? Is that right? A long time. And so we're continuing to help support that. Local outreach. Nicole and her team goes, and through dance and song and discipleship, there's little girls here in this city that would never have an opportunity to get what Nicole and her team gives them. And so we support Baby Girls Club and are proud and happy to do that. Hope Clinic, Rizzo, I don't know if you're here this morning. Renee, she's not here this morning. Renee Rizzo, the CEO of it, comes to church with us. Hope Clinic, doing the work that they do, providing women's health from a very profoundly committed pro-life standpoint. And so we're doing our best to save babies, to help women with health care. Hope Clinic does a great job. We continue to support them. Mercy Multiplied, our good friend Nancy Alcorn, with troubled young ladies, ladies that are older than the young ladies that Nicole works with. Narrowgate is kind of the male side of that. Our friends that we've been with Narrowgate, how about it, guys? We love and support the work that they do. Room in the Inn, our outreach to the homeless men from November 1st to April 1st. Brother Pat, I can't call you Sister Mary, I just call you Mom. My mom, their team, Leslie, all you guys, Dave, you guys do such a great job. Room in the Inn, November 1st to April 1st, every Tuesday night, bringing 25 homeless men from downtown Nashville out here to the country, feeding them, clothing them, giving them the gospel, loving on them, serving them, building friendships. They do a fantastic job. Pure Passion, Dr. David Foster, our good friend, although he relocated to Colorado, we're still connected in supporting him. His ministry dealing with sexually broken people, same-sex attraction, all kinds of different sexual brokenness issues. We support them and love them. Steve and Sammy Lee started Reboot, our ministry for combat veterans who have suffered from PTSD. Landstuhl Hospital in Germany, where we send resources to our wounded warriors and all that through our dear friend Karen. And so tons of stuff, just lots of other things as well. That's part of that 26% of mission giving is some of the stuff I just mentioned. Now I need to introduce you to Shane Eklund. Could you make him feel welcome this morning? Anyway, so Shane and his wife, Faith, have been at church here at Grace Chapel for over 5 years. They currently are leading our college and career age kids. They do a remarkable job on Friday nights. It has flourished under their leadership. And so we finally were able to hire him away and bring him on at Grace Chapel. So we're excited about that. Shane is going to be our kind of our community outreach pastor. We're going to start getting involved here in Franklin in areas we've never been before in an increased level. Shane obviously will be helping Nicole and the team and what they do and just other new things getting involved here locally on a more intentional, concentrated level. keep Pastor Shane in your prayers. Can we tell him in advance we love him and we're grateful for you? Thank you, buddy. Thank you. All right. Here we go. Let me just run down some real fast numbers for you. We baptized 108 people last year that we know of. We had 960 registered volunteers. We had 600 people go through adult equipping classes. We've got 90 different life groups with 800 different people. We've got Celebrate Recovery. We average 20 people a week, but there's probably 100 people that go through it on a Monday night. Our Iron Men group, now guys, I gotta just stop for just a second, not because I'm a guy, but just to call you out. Our Iron Men group, we've only got 267 guys registered, but there's way more than that that show up. And here's the deal. Guys, it's because you refuse to print your little name tag. Would you just print your name tag? The women have us beat like big time on this. So, you know, guys, get it together. Our women's ministry, 584 women went through the women's ministry last year. They're doing a fantastic job. Again, Pastor Shane, what I just talked about, the One College and Career Group, over 50 kids on Friday nights doing awesome. High school students, 380 high school students in regular rotation. Middle school, 352 middle schoolers in regular rotation. We had to take the high school group and take them down to the barn. We had to take the junior high group or middle school, put them in the high school room and do a bunch of remodeling and fixing that up and changing things down there. We're busting at the seams. Get ready. It gets more interesting. Birth through fifth grade. Are you ready for this? 2001, I'm not talking about the year, I'm talking about children. 2001 children in birth through fifth grade alone. On average, there's 500 kids here every single Sunday. VBS, yeah, go ahead for the next generation. VBS was huge last year, over 200 volunteers, 600 kids, over 600 kids showed up. 62 children, more than 10%, said yes to Jesus Christ for the very first time. Something we started last week for the children's ministry, it was the FX, but we launched it last week. This is family programming that corresponds with the birth through fifth grade, kind of that elementary age teaching that we're doing here. In other words, we're bringing the parents in to teach them what we're teaching the kids so that the parents can reinforce at home what we're giving their children here on Sunday mornings. This is a fun, fast-paced, awesome, wonderful time for you as parents to spend time with your kids at the FX and family experience and learning how you can minister to your kids during the week. So I'm going to give you some dates right here. Get ready. Our next one is January 29th. These are immediately after second service. There's lunch that's provided. We make this as easy for you as possible, parents. I promise, just get engaged. January 29th, March 5th, April 2nd, May 7th, August 27th, October 1st, November 5th, and December 3rd. Those are the dates for the family experience or FX. Do not miss out on it, parents. It'll equip you to be able to reemphasize everything we're teaching your kids at your house and throughout the week. So, all kinds of great stuff happening there. Can-do ministry. Let me just skip down to can-do ministry. These are our special needs kids. On Sunday mornings, friends, and I know this isn't going to sound like a lot to you, but it's huge to these families. There are 20 families every single Sunday that are able to come to church here because we have a ministry for their special needs child or children. They are, yes. That's Friday nights, different times throughout the year where we tell special needs parents, come and bring us your children. We're gonna do some really fun, creative, exciting programming with them. You guys go out on a hot date and enjoy yourself. Come back in a few hours and we'll have your kids ready to give back to you, happily and with joy. But we're giving them some rest and some respite because special needs parents, friends, they're challenged in ways that most of us don't know anything about. So we want to love on them as well. I mean, you think about the list of people, the missions and the ministry we've gone. We've got, I mean, we're covering as many things as we possibly can. And I'm not even listing all of it here. All right. The next thing I've got to talk to you about, or actually Derek has to talk to you about, is connection and connecting, because as the church gets bigger, we're realizing it has to get smaller. So could you all make Derek Brown feel welcome? He is our communications director. You're ready.
Thank you. Thank you. Good morning, Grace Chapel.
Good morning.
Thank you. Our vision for 2017 is for you to be the most aware, connected, and engaged church there is for the glory of Jesus.
Amen.
Today, we're going to talk to you about just two things that we have going on that we're super excited about. The first is one that you're actually already familiar with, which is our website, gracechapel.net. However, it looks a little bit different today than it did even earlier this past week. The goal here was to make the site more user-friendly, to make it more visually engaging for you guys, and overall to make it more simple and intuitive to find the information that you're looking for. We're bombarded constantly, aren't we, with information at all times. So we tried to move things around on the website where it makes sense, Amen. And you can get to it easily. Now, the second tool is where I'm gonna spend a little bit more time on this morning, and it's a new communications tool, an app that we've implemented called Becoming Aware. We've just went over tons of numbers, lots of photos, tons of information. And so we know that as the church gets bigger, it becomes even more difficult to communicate from our 27 plus ministries and expect you guys to grab each piece of information. And so we've implemented this app, which allows you to sign into it. We're going to go over that just briefly, but allows you to sign into it and selectively choose the information from the various ministries across the church that you want to receive from us. Mm-hmm. So we want you to pick the most relevant information, and that's what we're going to send you in terms of events, updates, posts, etc.
I got to interrupt you.
Do it.
This is stating the obvious, but I want everybody to hear this. We are making a way possible for them to get just the information that they want. They can specifically on a menu pick out just what they want, and they're not going to get lost in all this information that doesn't relate to them.
Absolutely.
This is amazing. Go ahead.
Brant, will you go to the grid, please? So when you actually sign in, we have instructions in your bulletin. It's bright orange. You can't miss it. Once you sign in, put in email, password, and just Grace Chapel. That's
create
all you
an
have
account.
To do. Yeah, it's as simple as creating an account as you do anywhere else. You'll be presented with a grid of our ministries. You simply scroll through, clicking on the ministries that interest you and you want to receive information from, and you click save at the bottom. Then when you go to your feed, it's just a news stream. It's customized exactly how you told the app you wanted it to be customized.
It works great. Mine works great.
Oh, it's excellent. The staff, so we've been actually using this for the past 3 to 4 months,
piloted
it among some small groups. The feedback's been fantastic. But the one thing that's a commonality that I hear from people over and over again is that it's just easy to use.
Right. So that's what we really need. Like people who are technically challenged like me, it can kind of get scary when you talk about phones and apps and websites and it's all this, you know. It really is easy if they'll just walk through the stuff.
Absolutely. Yeah. The instructions in your bulletin are step by step. We even included pictures for you guys so you know exactly what it looks like. We want to make it as easy as possible for you.
Amen.
So that's all I got. Go download the app.
You did great.
Thanks.
Thank you, buddy.
Appreciate it.
Now, there is one more part of this that we want to bring to your attention as it relates to being aware, connecting, and engaging, and it is the issue of signing in when you come to church. We have got a system now that is going to be even easier for everybody to sign in, to sign your kids in, to get the stickers, all that stuff. You can now do it from your home. You can do it in the car so that when you get here, you don't have to wait in a long line. All you have to do is show your phone to this little scan reader thing. It's so scientific. You just show your little phone to it and it'll print your stuff out. No waiting in lines. Check this video out.
How many times has this happened to you?
My key fob is obsolete.
Or this.
This retinal scanner doesn't work.
And what about this?
That's not a mirror.
There's got to be a better way.
Now there is. Hi, I'm Jay Tremblay, and I'm excited to share with you a revolutionary technique for checking in at church. It's called My Check-In. Here's how it works. I, Jay Tremblay, like many of you, have noticed that Grace Chapel is continually growing in exciting ways. So that means we are continually adapting in equally exciting ways. Checking yourself or your children in for classes or to volunteer is very important, and now it's easier than ever. And you can do it from the comfort of your own home, your local coffee shop, or even the passenger side of your car. And you'll be avoiding all the long lines and all that pesky retinal scanner confusion. Here's how it works. Step one, access My Check-In from any mobile device at mycheckin.fellowship1.com/gracechapeltn. Easy enough. Step two, log in with your in-fellowship login and password. Uh-oh, can't remember your password? No worries, just click on Forgot Password and look for an email to be sent. Oh, and if you don't have an account, you can easily click on Sign Up to register. My Check-In is available 4 hours prior to start of any event, and it will provide a list of current assignments that you or your family have been previously registered for. So, step three, select that box next to the activity for you and or your family members. Then select Next. Step four, and this may be the easiest step of all, ignore the next screen that mentions item tags. We don't even use those at Grace Chapel. Skip right to selecting Next. You'll receive a QR code at the end of check-in. Step five, take that QR code to any self-check-in station in the church and use the iPad camera to scan the QR code. Your tags will print automatically, and it won't be necessary to enter a phone number or scan a barcode. It's just that easy. My Check-In is our preferred method of checking in, and we're confident it will be your preferred method as well.
Bro, what are you doing in my office?
Well, I'm Jay Tremblay.
No, I'm Jay Tremblay.
Well, we can both be Jay Tremblay.
There's only one Jay Tremblay, and I've got the name tag. Besides, you look nothing like me.
Well, I'll be honest, up until this very second, I had no idea who you actually were.
Stop talking.
Yes, sir.
Now, as the real Jay Tremblay, I need you to use My Check-In to check in with ease. Just go here.
Wait, where's he going? Was that the end of the video?
Again, instructions for all this stuff is in your bulletin. Get it. I promise you it's not overwhelming. It's simple. You'll sign up one time, and after that, it'll be really, really easy. All right, let me quickly wrap this up. I want to talk to you about the campus and what's going on here. With the exception of Saturday, every inch of the campus is used every single day. Every single day, except Saturday. And I mean every inch of it. The church and the school are busting at the seams. We've got staff offices literally in closets and storage rooms that we're having to convert. We're packed. The church office itself is used on Monday, Wednesday, and Friday nights for ministry meetings. We've got people down at the barn, the fire pit, all that stuff. We're using everything. Parking is, if we're honest, a nightmare. It still surprises me that anybody comes. I looked out after first service and people are lined up down South Hall Road. You have to really want to come to this place. Most of you passed 20 churches to get here. I'm waiting for you to start pulling in there. And anyway, so here's what we're doing, friends. We're taking a serious look at expanding our building and our parking space. A serious look at it. I don't have just absolute rock hard, detailed plans for you. Here's what we're doing and all that, but it is a work in progress. And so I want to introduce you to what we're looking at, and we'll talk more about it in the future, I think. But here's a bird's eye view of the proposed new sanctuary. It would actually kind of go over to my left, to your right, where that little kind of ditch, ravine thing kind of is, and then into the parking lot. It'll connect right to this sanctuary. This sanctuary would eventually be turned into more youth space. So there's kind of a bird's eye view of what it would look like so you can know where. Here's kind of a, you know, outside distant view on the left. There of those two front buildings would be the new building. The one on the right is the building that we're currently in. Go ahead. More of a close-up view of the entrance into new sanctuary from the outside. Another angle, little more towards, there's a picture of the lobby. You know, we would walk in those doors on the right-hand side as you're looking at the picture and then go through into the sanctuary. There's from the upper balcony. This is probably going to be about 1,600 seats, which is almost double what we have now, just so you can, you know, do some math and figure out how much we're doing. There's from the stage looking up, sloped floor, theater seating, and then a balcony there at the very top. And so it will give us between that sanctuary and several hundred new parking spaces, it's going to give us room to grow for sure. Exactly when this is going to happen, we don't know, but we're kind of, I know, obviously we're looking into it. How we're going to pay for it at this point, I don't have the details for it. But I would just say this, if we were to finance 100% of it, we could afford every bit of it right now, okay? We are already paying the debt service on that much of an increased loan currently by doubling and tripling our payments. So if I was guessing, please don't hold me to this, if I was guessing at some point with when the county approves it and all that stuff, we would probably start the process paying for it out of the money that we have, tithes and offerings coming in. And then, you know, this is an 18, 20, 22 month process. So it's not like it comes up overnight. Then at some point we would probably maybe a couple years from now or something, year and a half from now, whatever it might be, do another sacrificial offering and see if we just don't pay for the whole thing by then. But I want you all to know that we're very serious about this. We're very conservative in it. We're probably for the first time in our church's history actually behind the curve a little bit. We're probably behind where we should be. And hopefully maybe the people who got tired of waiting in line on South Hall Road or looking for a parking space or looking to, you know, find a seat in here, maybe they'll come back someday. So we'll see. But there's a lot going on, and we're looking forward to the new year. It's going to be great and exciting, and we're serious about equipping you to be a passionate servant of Jesus Christ. Later this month, we've got a conference coming that I want to say invite you to before we say the final amen. And so it's a conference we're doing called Why Jesus? Reasons for Believing. We want you to know what you believe as a Christian and why you believe it. And so we're bringing in these two fantastic speakers, January 27th from 7 to 9 p.m. and then January 28th from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. It's a free conference. It's open to the entire community. I hope this place is jam-packed with people who are going to hear from these two great men of God about the reasons for believing in the Christian faith. Again, we want you to be equipped. We want you to be equipped to the point where you can pass on what you know to other people. This is a great and the first of many opportunities in the new year to do that very thing. So we don't have any plans on slowing down. We don't have any plans on resting on our past accomplishments. We have every intention of taking the mountain and continuing to go and grow as Jesus leads. So I hope and pray that you want to stick around and be a part of it, because it's going to be exciting just like the last 22 years have been. So God bless you. Thank you for being here today, for absorbing all this information, or at least 5% of it. We look forward to seeing you guys soon. God bless you mightily. Don't grow weary in your fasting. Let's believe God for great things. We'll see you soon.